Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Renee, who's here to speak with us about the recent recording and listening blog. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, Lakota. How are you?
Oh, great. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear.
Oh, good.
Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Just loving this recording and listening blog. What an incredible resource for us to have with all these great ideas about how to practice with the powerful tool of recording and listening.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And this last blog was great. Maybe to get us started, you could tell us a little bit about the blog.
Sure. It's basically about waking up in a state of mind that is depressed and unhappy and kind of what I used to call dread, or I still do, I guess, call dread. And so I had heard some ideas about recording and listening, like before bedtime, even while you're and listening to the recordings while you're sleeping. And then waking up and recording and listening to recordings or recording and listening, either one. And so so I can't remember a time that I mean, other than childhood, when I was, as an adult, that I didn't wake up feeling kind of, like something bad was going to happen or, just didn't feel good mentally. And so I started doing it, and I started recording before I went to bed, and then I started sleeping, listening to recordings, and then waking up and recording. And since I did that, and I have to say, even since I wrote the blog, I don't wake up that way anymore at all, ever.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's amazing,
it's
isn't
really
it?
Huge. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
I mean, talk about a practice works kind of experience, huh?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Describing an experience that, I mean, I definitely know in my experience, and sounds like a lot of people experience that, kind of being beaten up by conditioning as we sleep, and then waking up in the morning into that. It makes so much sense. We're just so vulnerable in that state as we're sleeping. There's no conscious adult to be there, kind of interfering with what self-hate does to us, and we just kind of wake up into that, whatever it is for us, but that, oh gosh, dread or whatever, and then recognizing that, and then and hearing from other people in practice. And this is a place where that recording and listening blog is so great, right? We get these wonderful ideas and these tips, and thinking like, well, maybe I'm going to practice with that. And then you described, like, oh my gosh, this just wholesale like commitment to, like, I'm going to just pull out all the stops and do everything I can to support this person. So recording before you go to bed, which is like loving, supportive reassurances from the mentor about how to take care of yourself before bed, and then listening to recordings that, inspiring recordings all through the night as you sleep, and then upon awakening, listening to recordings about gratitude. And then since engaging with that practice, no more dread in the morning.
No. Yeah, and
wow,
which is incredible. And, I didn't realize the extent of it until, I was asked to do this. And I was thinking, like, well, I haven't had that happen in a really, really long time. And there's times where I'll wake up in the middle of the night with a feeling of, unhappiness or depression or fear or something, or I'll be in the middle of a dream. And the recorders say it went off or something, and then I'll just immediately turn it back on, and it immediately goes away. Yeah. So I just keep doing it. I just do it. If it happens again, I just do it, and then it just goes away. I don't know what else to say other than it just disappears. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you make a wonderful point there, too, that, in a way, it doesn't even matter if it comes back. It doesn't matter if the voices wake us up in the middle of the night, with some fear or dread story or whatever, because we have that, we're in that process of being in this loving, supportive relationship with the adult, with the mentor, that
Yeah.
You've got that support with you all the time, no matter what.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and you know, we're in a culture that wants things to go away fast. We want to get better quick. You know, there's lots of pills mm-hmm. for that. Well, I really haven't experienced any pill that works faster than this. So I'm just saying,
yeah.
Once you start, I think you probably have to practice doing it some to get the hang of it, to get started and start
sure.
doing it. And then, you know, but then after you do it a while, it just, you do it again and it just, you know, that voice, you turn your attention to the recordings and then that's where you are. You're with the recordings. You're with whatever you're hearing, you know, and you're in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, as soon as you turn your attention there to that recording, that's where you are. That's your experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great in this culture of this quick fix culture where you just want to push a button or take a pill and have it all go away and just be perfect right now. You know, that's recognizing that's not how it works. And yet, I mean, as far as really effective solutions to working with this
mm-hmm.
stuff, this is about as good as it gets, huh? And it's
yeah.
really
yes.
impressive. It, like you said, it takes a little bit of practice. It takes definitely
mm-hmm.
some willingness to show
yes.
up and do it. But boy, we show up and we do the practice. We turn our attention to that loving conversation with a mentor. Redirect the focus of the attention away from the fear or dread stories or whatever, and to that beautiful, loving conversation. Then that's the experience.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, just want to say that. Some of my recordings are from retreats, you know, and so I have those that I can go back to for, like, you know, when you're on a retreat, you record. It seems like, well, at least I've recorded a lot more when I'm on retreat than when I'm not on retreat. And so
uh-huh.
I can listen to, you know, anything that happened on the retreat or poetry that maybe I recorded while I was on retreat or,
mm.
you know, the teachings that are given. And that's really helpful, too, to have things available to listen
mm.
to, you know, that are right there on your recorder.
Yeah, definitely. To have
yeah.
just files and
yeah.
files of wonderful, supportive, inspiring things to listen to available on our recorder. And retreat recordings are a
mm-hmm.
great thing to turn to, or the positive, uplifting conversations, poetry. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you're talking about that, too, I was just thinking about that incredible recording and listening website. Where, I mean,
mm-hmm.
gosh, you know, a person could go in there and just record all the recording and listening blogs. There's just a million
yeah,
different ideas.
That's a great idea.
Wonderful
yeah.
tips and, you know, places to focus, you know, places to record about. Man, it's endless,
yeah.
really.
It is endless. And when you think of the books, you could record books, you know,
uh-huh.
Sherry yeah. Nashwani's books. You could record.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I listen to radio shows or if, you know, just if it's more convenient or something, you know, if I don't have my recorder right there or whatever,
yeah.
maybe I'll use my phone and listen to a radio show instead or something like that.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason for, I don't really do it in an organized way. You know, like there's
sure.
a voice in my head sometimes that'll say, these are so mixed up and so all over the place and you need to get them organized. I'm just like, nah, I'm just going to listen to whatever is there at the moment and that works just fine.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah.
the voice we don't need to listen to. And then the mentor drops in, you just listen to whatever. It doesn't really matter. And that's one of the beautiful things about being engaged in a practice conversation, that it's the process, not the content. It really kind of doesn't even matter what the recording
yeah,
is about.
Yeah, that is such a good point.
Nice,
yeah.
Just to be in a conversation about practice, it just takes you right to that place of showing up in presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm very grateful. Yes.
Yeah, so grateful. Yeah, so grateful for this practice, this incredible blog with all these ideas and this amazing
mm-hmm.
recording and listening tool. We're never alone.
No, we're not. And that recorder's right there. And the blog does have tons of ideas and other things people have done. And you know, I just love hearing all the different ideas and reading there or listening to people talking about it on the radio show or whatever. It's just an endless amount of information that you can, you know, use for your recording and listening practice, definitely.
Yeah, yep, it sure is. It's wonderful. As you're talking about that, I was just getting that, you know, if we really want to wake up and end suffering, then this practice, and now with all these tools, the newly designed website, the recording and listening blogs, they're just such a clear, you know, we're just supported right through the whole process. It's such a, you know, just do this practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no reason to use that excuse of not being supported because it's all right there, all over the place.
Yep. Well, I see we're coming up to the hour. Was there anything you wanted to add before we end?
No, I would just, you know, encourage people to, you know, just start somewhere. Start with maybe doing it before you go to bed, and then just get your archives of recordings built up on whatever you want it to be, poetry and teachings, you know, books, your own talking to the mentor, whatever. Just get some stuff in there and then listen to it no matter what the voices say.
Listen to it no matter what the voices say. Yeah, that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Renee, for being with us and sharing your experience.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care. Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Lakota, thank you. And Renee, thank you for that lovely conversation. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Even through all this rain, I can hear you great.
Oh, my gosh. I was just thinking, I'm sitting with the window slightly open because I can't not have that unbelievably beautiful rain air come in here. And I'm listening to the creek running, which is also known as the woods, because it's not usually a creek, but it is right now. It's more like a river, actually, in the woods. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so beautiful. Oh.
I know. It's just fabulous for us Californians to have this all this rain after years and years of drought. It's great.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great thing.
Yes.
So
it
seems like we could...
the beauty of the monastery. So that's just fabulous.
Yeah, it really
is. Painting that picture.
Yeah, everything is green. Just green, green. It looks like Ireland. Yeah.
Oh, great. Great.
Yep. So I was thinking that now we could spend the rest of the hour underlining the points that Renee made.
Yes. Great.
Oh, my
God. Great idea.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Fabulous conversation once again.
It really was. It really was. I love that. That's just nonchalant. I don't know what to tell you. It's just how it works.
It's just how it works.
You know? I mean, it reminds me of how, you know, Zen is very science. I mean, it's just, it's not good. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's not, it's just how it works. Right? And that piece of, you know, we all want a quick fix, and we want to pop that pill, and, well, actually, this is a quick fix. Because with the shift of attention, it's this in this very moment, right here, right now, we can shift it. Amazing.
Yes, it's great. It's great. And I loved how you were talking about scientific. I love the logic of Zen. It reminds me of mathematics, really, that something, there are these basic principles, and they're just always true.
That's
and
right.
And so you can build on that. And it's very reassuring.
And so that leads to that piece that she said, and so if the thing starts to happen again, then I just do it again. Now we can say just. But and in there, of course, is the challenge, right? Because the actual thing is very simple. The information, we have the information, we know. It's the resistance that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate kicks up. That's what makes it tricky.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
But that's why we
train. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Say that last part again.
I said that, but that's why we train, so that we don't have to buckle to that resistance.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, and as Lakota said, we have so many supports these days that really we're running out of excuses for not waking up.
I think it was you who pointed out we're closing off all the exits. There's nowhere for conditioning to go. Or the entrances, whichever way we want to put that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's fun. I have some announcements here, unless there's more you want to start us off with.
No, the announcement sounds good.
Great. The new Seasons of Joy retreat is a return to the early days of practice, where Sangha enthusiastically participated in creating and maintaining their place of practice. Join the monks in a joyous week of spring cleaning, March 21st through 26th, and have the valuable experience of being trained by the guide in the joy of wholehearted engagement with life unfolding.
It really is. Again, we could spend a long time talking about it, but that's a really unique opportunity to get to participate in a retreat with that element in it. So that's really, really fun. Yep.
Yes. And your practice retreat, April 9 through 15, is a chance to step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The retreat features individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. And this retreat is a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks.
Another excellent opportunity.
Yes. And for a not-to-miss opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate, sign up now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26 through May 3 at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Amazing, we're already in that season. That's so fun.
Yes, yes we are. Yeah. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Jen today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And about 5 minutes on one topic is really helpful. Okay, Jen, shall we get started?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here in England.
Hi, Colin.
Hi, Colin.
Hello, I was looking at one of the Project Joy assignments on what would you do if today was your last day, and seeing some procrastination about sort of practice issues and not tackling them. And there's a thing that's sort of been going on now for a while is, so a couple of years ago, there was something sort of quite unpleasant happened to me. And at the time, I was getting really shouted at by conditioning all the time. And, months have gone by, it's less and less so. But I'm it's my last day, and I want to stay present. And this memory sort of pops up, which takes me back into the past as something sort of unpleasant that happened. And it just kind of follows me around like a shadow sometimes. It's just, why is this thing, pesky thing, keeps popping up? And I don't know quite where to go with it. It's I'm not really upset about the content of it particularly, but it's just always hooking me out back into the past all the time, and I don't know quite where to go with it.
And so, Colin, when it comes up, you said when it first happens that conditioning was really at you, really on you. I don't know about it or if it was just using that as an opening, but that it was really at you. And so that's kind of faded over time, it sounds like, but that it cycles back around. And when it cycles back around, are the voices doing the same thing to you when they bring it up as they were doing when they were so on you when it first happened?
Yeah, it's sort of less so. It's just kind of like reminding me, well, this is what happened, isn't it? And just so you know, don't you forget that this is what happened. And it's fading slowly over time. But I suppose it's in terms of this, if this is my last day, well, perhaps I haven't got a couple of years to wait for it to just sort of, die a death of its own accord. And it's just kind of hanging around somehow. Do you see what I mean? I feel there's something I'm not addressing.
Uh-huh. I think I'm tracking with you. So in other words, so there's a sense of, okay, well, this thing is fading over time, and I guess it will just fade as it fades in its own way. But that's all well and good, except if today were my last day and it's still here, that somehow feels like a problem.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is sort of interesting in a way, isn't it? Because we can guess that for a lot of us, not everyone, depending on how we die, that not everything's going to be all tidily finished up by the time where that happens.
That's right, yes.
In the way that conditioning would put a standard on that.
Oh, okay.
So I remember in the one of the radio shows, I can't remember if it was that day, Colin, that we were talking about it, but that sense, it might have even been today, actually, in the morning show, that sense of there's a way in which when we're here in the present moment, whatever's going on, even if it's a flashback to something that happened to me and that now the voices are saying this or saying that, if we're just simply here, present with it, in compassion, there's a way in which it is finished.
Right.
In the sense of, it's so subtle, the conversations that conditioning tries to get us into. So if there's some invisible standard that I'm supposed to be over this, or this isn't supposed to come up anymore, or when this does come up, this is a problem, and it means X, Y, Z, which usually is unsaid. Right? None of that is really stated. But there's just sort of that general sense of, it sounds like from what you're describing, when it comes up, oh, that's something's wrong, right? It shouldn't be coming up. But what if, you know, as we often talk about in practice, this were our best opportunity to return over and over to unconditional love and to remembering there's nothing wrong. And so even when this thing comes up, when it gets dragged into the, you know, into this moment from the past by conditioned mind, we can guess, what if that's our best opportunity to go, okay, I'm right here with you. That's all right.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, so it's like if I'm not experiencing these wonderful, blissful states, then I'm doing it all wrong and my life's not good enough sort of thing. And it's just being present to what is really, whatever that is.
Exactly, because you know what I saw when you said that was, my gosh, if there were a standard on my last day that I needed to be peaceful and blissful the whole time, then at least for me, boy, I would spend that last day really stressful because I'm trying to hold it at bay all the ways I'm not supposed to feel, all the ways I don't want to feel. No, I'm only going to feel peaceful and blissful. Right? And of course what that's doing is it's holding it all in place.
Yes, I did feel that I was doing something that's holding it in place, but I couldn't see what it was. And it is kind of like an ego orientation, isn't it? That this is my life, and I've got to do these things, and this is how it's got to be before I die. And it's all about me, isn't it? And the ego, which isn't kind of really where I want to be going with it.
Exactly. And the thing is, and this is such a theme, it feels like, for this year, and certainly a theme of those morning radio shows, is getting it that happens to Colin in the same way it happens to every single one of us. We all get bamboozled into having it be, quote, all about me. And the irony in that, of course, is that we completely lose, at which you're illustrating perfectly, in getting talked into, you know, I want to feel a certain way and I want to have a certain, you know, state of existence, and I want to, me, the actual person, in this case Colin, doesn't benefit at all from that. Ego benefits a ton from that. And as soon as we see that, of course, its next move is to go, well, look at you. Isn't it all about you? And you're always wrapped up in you. But then we can step back and just chuckle and say, well, there it is, doing its thing.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's so good because, you know, it's because everyone can relate, I'm sure. Everyone has those things that feel like they should be done, and for whatever reason they're not done, and they cycle back around. And if those things become what you're describing, that sense of like, oh no, not that again, then we're being hunted, right? And we're, in a way, we're sort of a victim in our own life. But if we turn the tables and figure each time that whatever that thing is for each of us cycles back around, that's our opportunity to, you know, build that compassion muscle. Oh, here we go. This is my compassion workout. Yay, good. You know, how do I want to be with Colin as this goes on? I want to love him. I want to be with him. I want to tell him it's completely all right. I want to tell him if it takes eternity to, you know, to see through this, that's perfectly all right. I have no standards. You know, all those things that we get to practice. And then eventually we actually start to feel grateful that those things are happening. We no longer need to avoid them.
Yes, okay. Oh, thank you for that. That's brilliant. I'm really glad to sort of kind of brought that out in the open, and hopefully I'll be able to move on with that now. So that's really great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, do a lot of recording and listening about it, because that's our tool to be with ourselves when those things do come up, right?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, yeah. Well, I'll you know, that'll give me an impetus to sort of look at it again. I think I'd just put it on a back burner, and that gives me some direction now to look at that. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Oh, and thank you for your willingness to get up in the middle of the night to explore it.
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. Take care, Colin.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Colin. Well, that was a genius start to this show, Jen. That was fabulous.
It really was. Don't you love it? I just love it so much when people have what I project is just this tremendous, like, a meeting of willingness and sincerity. That sense of,
wow. All
right, there's something here. There's something here. And I know there's probably a bamboozle in here somewhere. I'm not really seeing it. Here's everything I've seen about it. Now, I have the willingness to bring that to guidance, not only to guidance, but to the whole Sangha and explore it. And then we all benefit so much from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm practically in tears here. I mean, as you said it, the willingness and the sincerity comes together, and it's so powerful and so beautiful.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, thank you for that, Michael, because it just underlines what we were just talking about, that the very things that seem to trap us, imprison us, actually become the instruments that open our hearts.
Yes. Mm. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Wow. Well, let's get the next caller on. We'll see where we go next.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. It's Beth from Denver.
Hey, Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Wow. So I was taking some guidance from the Project Joy suggestion this morning of not doing things the way that I knee-jerk conditioned reaction to doing them, and so put myself in the queue, and I have nothing.
Great, I love it. I have nothing except doing exactly what we're all doing as a sangha today. That's all I've got.
Yeah. What I've got is practice.
Yes, the moment.
Yeah.
Which is everything and nothing. Boy, doesn't that segue perfectly from emptying our teacups?
Yeah, exactly. That there is no separation. It's just showing up and I'm filled without doing anything.
Yes, without doing anything. I bring nothing that is everything.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so what I'd like to say is just thanks for the radio show always, because I've been listening to some archives from 2005, mm-hmm. and they have been absolutely amazing. In a sense of, talk about the willingness and sincerity to show up and to share for all of Sangha. And there was one particular caller who shared something, and you know, Sherry's response was what her response was. And I went, oh my God, that fits my life exactly. You know, like that fits exactly the circumstances that are going on. And long story short, it was basically drop the conversation, and you'll have a lot more energy to show up for what's present. And that's my experience.
Wow. And then, I mean, that's that religious place, right, where we just go, this show was recorded 12 years ago, but it was clearly recorded for me for this moment.
Right. And it points to, you know, everything's the same, nothing changes, and yet I'm changed.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's so good, Beth, isn't it? Because it's like we were looking at with Colin. What happens is we think, gosh, I need to change this. I need to have this not come up anymore. I need to be done with this. Why can't I? And then with that incredibly tiny yet profound shift, we realize, oh my gosh, I've just been looking in the wrong direction, that's all. That doesn't need to change at all. And yet, in that realization, everything is changed.
Yeah, exactly. It is that place of, how do I put it? It's like I can't go back and change the past, obviously, and I have no idea what's going to happen in the future. But right at this moment, being present and being here is fulfilling in its own in itself.
Yes, completely. You know, and what's so powerful about that is that when we realize, let's see how to articulate it. When we realize that that's possible in every moment, there's a way in which, I mean, kind of using Colin's example, we do change the past, because that story, that group of things that happens, right? Because, I mean, can't we all relate, right? You're going along in your life, and then suddenly, I love the way Colin describes it, like, now don't forget that thing happened to you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really helpful. Thank you. Oh, I almost forgot. And so, and that goes with a bunch of sensations and thoughts, you know, this whole reality, this whole hologram is brought into, quote, reality in that second. But when we learn that alchemy of truly being present, all of that does shift. And so there's a way in which it does change the past, you know, our belief, our whole relationship with what that was.
Yes. Exactly. I agree with that wholeheartedly. So I just want to say thanks, Michael and Sherry and you and everybody that shows up and all the callers and Sangha for coming together to make this possible every week. And it's just, and obviously Lakota and the open air, I mean, what is it called again? What's new?
Good news, Beth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That too. Everything. Yeah. It's marvelous.
Everything.
Yeah.
And it really is that. It's so generous, isn't it, that people are willing to, like you said, you know, just, well, exactly what you just modeled for us, actually. So here's the assignment that's up for today. Oh, do something do it in a way you don't normally do it. Oh, well, I wouldn't normally put myself in the queue when I, quote, have nothing to talk about. So there's that, again, that willingness and the sincerity. Boom, hit star six. Mm-hmm. And then here's this whole thing that is now part of the archives that someone can listen to 12 years from today and have it be exactly what they needed to hear.
Wow. That just gives me chills, Jen.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, wonderful. Mm. Thank you both.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And that gave me chills also, Jen. That's fabulous.
It is fabulous. Yeah.
And when Beth said she was bringing nothing to the call, I thought, wow, wouldn't we all want to have nothing to bring to the call?
Oh my gosh. So true.
Have our teacup already emptied. Like, that's great.
Oh, that is such a great image. Just walking into a room or picking up the phone or wherever we're entering, bringing nothing to it, letting life. Wow, that's great.
Wow, great. Did you have
And of course, when you hear someone say that, don't you completely know, oh, there's no way they're bringing nothing to the call. This is going to be good. Life is going to show up, right?
Yes.
That's such a generous place to bring nothing, because all of life can come through in that nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Exactly so. Okay, let's talk to another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita from Orange County.
Hey, Rita.
Hi.
Hi. Wow, I'm surprised I got on. I don't know why, but it's been great listening so far to both of those calls. And I really have to applaud the first caller for following through. That was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was thinking about is I kind of want to talk about karma. And particularly, I'm trying to figure out how to word this, but it's something to be cleared, and sometimes it involves other people, like family members and all that, correct?
I didn't hear. I missed the last part. Sorry, the first part of your sentence, you said something that involves family members.
Karma. Karma also involves family members. Is that correct?
If we go to the daily recollection, right, which is the recitation that we say each morning at meditation at the monastery, which I know you've heard.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty big, right? I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. I am supported by karma. Everything I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. Not much left out of that, is there?
No. And I guess where I'm torn is when the Buddha said, the only person we can save is ourselves. But it seems to me that certain life incidents keep repeating themselves, and I'm guessing it's because I haven't completed the workshop. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just briefly, I mean, I've sort of detached myself from my family of origin because there was a lot of abuse involved in their immediate families and a lot of addiction that I really didn't ever participate in, and I didn't want to be around it. And so I kind of disconnected from all of them, and it seems like I'm just disconnecting and disconnecting and disconnecting. And now my only child is also behaving that way, like the rest of my family. And, you know, am I going to also disconnect from her? I think there's a workshop here that, yes, I'm here to save myself, but is that to the exclusion of other people who I care about?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what have you seen about that so far?
Well, it's not going away, and what I've seen is that I try to give her positive, like quotes from Open Air and things like that that I find really helpful. And she goes completely negative and over the top. And then she becomes, you know, abusive over text. We don't even talk on the phone. And I don't know if I'm being, you know, I don't know how to be strong. And, you know, I don't know where the middle ground is. I don't know if I'm being a mushball walking all over me, and then if I get too strong, you know, then that completely sets it off.
So let me ask you this, Rita. What would you say your relationship with Rita around all of this is like?
Yeah. Well, when I'm not exchanging with my daughter, I feel like I'm heading more towards joy.
Okay, and how about when you are?
I am stressed, and you know the workshop, I know there's something there because I've never had to stand up to someone getting in my face. I've always just run away and not done it to my benefit.
I'll tell you the reason I ask, and I offer this from my own experience, and you can see if it resonates for you, that you know, that place where you said when it's not there, you know, when you're whatever, at work or in other relationships or that sort of thing, and there's that tremendous sense of joy and you know, I imagine really feeling the benefits of your practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that then in this other situation, it brings up this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I just have such a tremendous sense when those, you know, we often talk about them as mirrors, when those other kinds of mirrors are put in front of me that, aha, okay. So if that's coming up in this situation, in your case with your daughter, but we all have some, you know, a number of situations like that very likely in our lives, content that bring those things up.
Mm-hmm.
If this is coming up in this context, what I see for myself is it means it's in there to come up.
Yes.
And for me, being a student of Zen and someone who has a tremendous commitment to freedom and to unconditional love for this person and acceptance,
mm-hmm.
there's a sense of not necessarily this is great and I love it and it's easy, but okay, and almost a gratitude. Because if it's being mirrored in this situation, it means it's in there to be mirrored. And it's my opportunity to, again, very similar to what we were talking about with Colin, it's my opportunity to practice being everything I want to be, being all those ways that I'm able to be in other situations, but it's almost like this is the high-stakes one.
Mm.
You know, we often talk about practicing in situations that are not as difficult for you, so that when the big ones come around, you have a better shot. Now, again, in my experience, in the biggest ones, a lot of times they just steamroll right over me. And then there's a sense of, okay, and how am I with that? You know, it used to be they'd steamroll right over me, and there's a tremendous sense of self-hatred. Well, look at you. Oh, yeah, what kind of practice do you have? Look at you now. But now it steamrolls over me, and there's a sense of, all right, great job. Wow, did you see the courage you had facing that down? Oh, my gosh. And the voice wants to come in. That was incredibly unskillful. Nope, nope, nope. We're not entertaining any of that, none of that. We saw what we saw in that. We dust ourselves off. We keep practicing. And what we know is if we can have that relationship with it, that attitude of mind, every time it comes back around, we're going to see more about it. And our compassion muscles and our unconditional love muscles are going to get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Okay, that's a good question. That leads to a good question because the compassion part of it, I mean, I guess, how do I have compassion for her in a situation I know she's not feeling well and then she gets abusive with me? How do I remain compassionate?
Well, see, here's the, again, I can only offer my own experience.
Yes.
I have been unsuccessful offering compassion to someone else as the primary focus of what I'm doing. What I found for myself is the only way I can pull that off is if I am living in just, I don't know what the image is, a cloud, a warm blanket, a something of compassion. That in other words, so there I am in a situation with someone who completely triggers, you know, pushes all the buttons that I have, you know, going on. And again, how am I with myself? Well, what I found is the only way I'm different with that person is if I'm different with this person, with myself. In other words, there are no standards. I'm doing the best I can. I know that what I want is to treat myself and the other person with as much kindness as I can. And that what I found is when I'm in that situation and I'm able to have that compassion and I'm able to have that unconditional love, what tends to happen is I get, you know, closer and closer to center. And from that place of center, it just becomes clear. So, for example, maybe what's clear is, you know what, this isn't helpful for either of us. And I remove myself from the situation. Maybe that's how it goes one time. Maybe another time the thing to do is just to hang in there and practice my reflective listening. And so the thing is, there's no, in my experience, there's no content that we can kind of look at that's going to take care of it. Rather, it's a place for practicing being, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. Yeah, it does trigger me, and the whole pressure starts through the body, and I wake up, you know, with, I'm sure, cortisol streaming through my veins.
Yeah.
But,
yes, you know, and that's such a good one, Rita, because that was a big wake-up one for me. When I realized how much cortisol was probably in the system, and I realized how unkind that was for the body, for the emotions, for the mind, and that I wanted to make a difference with that. That's a huge motivator.
Yes, and I was just, I got to sleep because I was saying, you know, it's okay, you're all right, and, you know, talking to myself. And so that was good that I even got to sleep, but I woke up like a truck hit me.
Well, and now we're back to the good news update. Right? Because that's exactly what Renee was describing, you know, a slightly different emotion perhaps, but the exact same process, which is what she got to is, you know what, I know how to make a difference with this, and all that remains is to do that, and she did it.
So
she's now, every time she's in her equivalent of what you're talking about, she's turning on the recorder. And then what we get to is, oh, right, I don't only want to do it when that's triggered, I want to do that all the time, right? It's just like our health. I don't only want to, you know, stay healthy when I'm not feeling well. I want to do all those things that take care of me all the time so that I don't get in that situation.
Yes, I understand that one. So that, so when I wake up like that, just grab the recorder and just say how I'm feeling and then listen to
say
that.
Say how you're feeling and or listen to recordings that you've made. Okay. Because you know this is going to come up, right?
Yeah.
You know it's going to come up. So make recordings for her. You can even make recordings for her to listen to all night because you know when that's when it's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right here. I'm with you. It's perfectly all right. I know you're doing the best you can. I love you no matter what. You know, all those things that whatever it is that she wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. And I do see my daughter as a bodhisattva, and she's just going to make me get strong in the area if it kills her or
not. That's right. That's right. That's right. Life is not going to give up on you until that last little bit of blackmail that conditioning has is disarmed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep. Going from the lamb to the lion here.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you so
Very
much.
Good. Thanks, Rita.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rita. Another fabulous conversation, Jen. Just wonderful.
Indeed. Yep.
And we are going to take a break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael.
Great. Thanks, Jen.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beauty?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jen. This is Christina from Southern
California.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I'm stuck on speakerphone. My iPhone is frozen, so if I'm echoing, I might need to call back in.
I can hear you perfectly. Yeah.
Okay, good. Wow. So I'm one of those callers who, put myself in the queue not knowing what I wanted to talk about. And then after being, participating in the call, I've been completely transformed. And I can't decide which one I should talk about now, which area of practice.
So true, isn't it? Yeah. I love it.
It's
the song is so good. Yeah.
It really is good. And I think the place that I'm really looking at right now is how when I came to practice, my life was in recession. I was really pulling inward. And and I'm getting to that place now in practice where I'm very much expanding, and I'm starting to reach out for things that I really never believed, I was capable of doing.
Wow.
Things that have seemed outside of the realm of reality or possibility. And I'm coming up against a lot of fear and a lot of taking a little step and then pulling back, taking a step and pulling back. And what that's highlighting for me is that I want to be in better relationship with myself, that I want to know what I want to hear. Because I don't even know that. I've been so conditioned to know how to get myself in line, how to get in line, do work hard, do the right thing, all of that. But I don't even know what I want to hear. And and so it's just a new place for me. And I'm so glad to have practice to support me through it in Sangha.
Yeah. I mean, first thing I just want to underline is what I'm projecting is just such a beautiful illustration of the spirit of inquiry. Right? Because so here's this, you're in this place in practice, which sounds really exciting in the sense of, expanding into these places that you never thought were possible. And, so fear arises, which is a complete That's how we know we're expanding into places that we're not supposed to expand into, right? That's what conditioning puts in there to stop us is the fear. And then that spirit of inquiry of like, okay, So what occurs to you is, gosh, I want to know, what does she want to hear? What would be most helpful to her? And what a beautiful, kind inquiry that is to be in that journey of discovering that.
Yeah, it is. And it's, there's that voice in the head that wants to grab me into a conversation around it's folly or there's, not to believe that that there's something I need to hear. When I say it out loud, it doesn't make any sense, but when it's going on in your head, it's so powerful in how it can grab the attention and how I can believe it. And it's going to be a process. It's going to be, I do have to bring that spirit of inquiry, like you said, because I just want that for myself. And just really quickly, my children have really inspired me in this way because when I came to practice, my kids were babies. and they're not that much older now. They're 6 and 10. And I can remember my daughter, who's 10, being about 4 or 5, and because I was starting to pay attention to, you know, everything I did, I could see how I was riding her the way conditioning rides me, and she was this tiny little child. And so, and what I'm getting to now in practice is how I have to be able to understand what I need to hear before I can ever, you know, really be able to listen to my own children and know, you know, other than just trying to offer them my own stuff, my own projections. Mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. And I heard that in the one of the last calls. You know, working on this relationship is the best thing I can do for them. And talk about a motivation, a motivating factor in my life. So I'm just so grateful.
So Christina, I'm curious. I imagine you've done two handic recordings.
Yes.
Okay. What's your experience of that?
I haven't done it as much as one might think, you know, because I have done it, and every time mm-hmm. I've done it, it's been incredibly profound. But I get talked into believing that I have to have, you know, the right amount of time, I have to have the right amount of space. So I hear the encouragement, Jen.
Well, and I'll tell you, actually, I'm really, there's a little motivation behind the question, which I'll tell you. It's just what I've seen, I just think is fascinating in my own experience of doing that, is that it seems like just kind of depending on what karma comes through a given person, they might struggle with different aspects of that process of the two-handed recording. So just to give we have a lot of resources on this, I think, in the recording listening blog and that sort of thing. But for anyone who might be stumbling on the show brand new, basically a process of where you get to put the recorder in one hand and let the person who's struggling just talk uncensored about what's going on with them. Then you stop. Put the recorder in the other hand, listen back to that, and just really listen, in this case, to her. And then stop, pause, you know, look to see what is there that you feel moved to offer her, record that, and then listen back to that. And I'll tell you what, it's been fascinating to see when I first started really, really doing that exercise, and first of all, there was a ton of resistance to it. The most mm-hmm. challenging part for me was letting the person talk uncensored.
Mm-hmm.
That was so huge. And for the reason I ask is that description you had of, I know how to keep her in line, right? I know how mm-hmm. to, you know, okay, here we go, let's work hard, let's do this. And so what I found is that it's taken some practice to really mm-hmm. let whatever's going on to be expressed on that recorder. And when it is, it's amazing to really see her and to really get what that's like, in this case, for her to live under, we might even say, a tyranny of being constantly managed, constantly, you know, do this, do that, be this way, don't be that way, to really, really hear her. And that I would guess, as you get to start to really hear her, just naturally, especially since you're a mom, it will start to come up what you truly want for her.
Wow, that is so helpful to hear you lay it out like that, because what it showed me, you know, I was able to reflect back on some of the two-handed recording exercises that I've done, and how one of the things that happens, you know, how conditioning comes in, is that I will begin to speak, and then right away, because I'm so patterned in this way, the advice starts coming out. Or, you know, like, you might even call it the insight. Or, instead of letting her go, she's being curtailed because someone else knows better.
You know? That's right. That's it. Yeah. That nails it completely. Yeah. And, you know, so what I just saw was you might invite a facilitator in. You know, so it's like she starts talking, and then there's like, for me, it's like, well, yeah, but you know what? What I really see is I could just, right? And it does feel like sight. But it's not the experience of the person who's in there day after day, frustrated with the same thing. And even though, for me, what it often was is, it's so clearly a conditioned perspective, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's a conditioned perspective. Yeah. Like, but I don't like it, and I don't want it to be that way. And what I got to is, that's completely all right. Let her say it. Because the mentor has no problem sorting out what's a, quote, conditioned perspective and what's not. The mentor is not going to get sucked into the story. So let her, if it's a story, fine. Let her tell the story. Because when she's allowed to do that, what's going to come out is what is authentically going on with her. So bringing in that facilitator who, as the ins start coming in, you can say, great, that's really helpful. Let's hear some more about what that's like to be in the middle of that. Tell me how that feels. What's that like to be living in that?
Okay. Yeah, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Well,
and then I love the other piece, too, that I think you alluded to, which is that, is there a right thing that she needs to hear? No, I'm sure there isn't a right thing that she needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That what she wants is, I would project, to be seen and to be heard.
Right.
You know? And she's not going to have any standard about, like, well, that wasn't the right thing to say to me. But to be truly seen and truly heard in that uncensored way, I would bet that's going to be just a joy for her.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I love that, because I'm not sure I had alluded to it or seen it so clearly. The you know, because I think there is some kind of belief that there's something that, you know, she wants to hear, because I'm always striving for that perfection, right? So
yeah,
it's always
leading
its way into whatever I'm looking at. And so it is helpful to be reminded of that, because you're right. Just myself and my children, we just want to be seen. You know, we just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Thank you for that reminder.
You know, the other fun thing that I just saw when you said that was, I've had some fun on my recordings with, when I realize I'm getting tongue-tied and that place is like, I'm not sure that's the right thing, I come back to the authenticity of, why do I care so much that I say the right thing? I care so much. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I care so much. And I'll often say that on my recording. I'll say something like, oh, shoot, I'm getting all balled up. But what I really want to say is, I just love you like crazy, and I'm not sure quite how to say that. And, of course, what happens immediately is, yay, thank you, that's all I wanted.
Yes, and you let go, right?
And then you let go, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the magic of authenticity,
Well, thank you. I had nothing to say.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, another nothing, yep. Thanks for sharing your nothing, Christina. That was incredibly helpful.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christina. That was the best nothing I've heard in a long time, Jen. So.
I love these nothing. It really could catch on.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great nothing calls tonight.
We really have.
Yes, and I think we have time for one more.
Okay, great.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Jan. I'm just laughing. I just can't get over this radio show.
Have you called in to tell us nothing, Jan?
well, my version of it, because we're supposed to do things that we just wouldn't do otherwise, is to call in and I don't have the answer to what I want to talk about.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
To not have the answer all ready to go. Yes.
Well, a lot of times I get fooled into, I'm only supposed to call if I have some great news to report or whatever, whatever version that takes.
Mm-hmm.
But just amazing conversations. And I think I got every single conversation sort of addressed what I don't know. and what it's coming from is Sherry's blog, of a place in the blog that just stopped me, and it's been so great to practice with. it's where she, when it's talking, her, the portion where she's talking about what the Buddha suggested, one of them is not to oppose evil. And it just stopped me. And I thought, wow, okay, let's take a look at that. And which I've been doing, and what I've got, you know, what I've seen so far is just how amazingly strong the conditioning is that evil exists, you know? And
yeah,
just,
that's what I went to. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that's, I called in to just say, I don't really have any answers about that, but it's a fascinating exploration. And I just look forward to more guidance about, as we, well, in the morning radio show too, as we explore that, because I find so often, I find myself coming from a place, or I'll hear what comes out of me, or it's an action I take, no matter how small, and realize, oh, wait a minute, that came out of assuming there's evil here, and that's just not so. Yeah, so,
Do you have an example at the front of your awareness, or?
Well, yes, because it happens every day.
Okay.
Here's where I'm finding myself is caught between wanting to stay informed enough to make decisions of where I want my participation to be. Right now, in we unfortunately call it the political area, but it's really all of life. Of how that's affecting all of us. And so I listen, and I'll get caught up in, it's happened sort of gradually, but it's just caught up in that there is something wrong. And so it's that place of, how much do I listen to? How informed do I need to stay to participate from a place of love, of caring, of kindness? That's been my dilemma. That's what I've been struggling with. And then when I not opposing
ahead,
evil.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then when you saw, I didn't hear the last part of that.
Just then when it popped out at me of, you know, not to oppose evil, I just realized how often that's where I sense I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And that's not that's not my purpose for being involved, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. That's not what you're setting out to do, but it's the way conditioning is wanting to frame it. So almost like it's like you set out to, I don't know what word you would put to it, care, to participate, to, you know, be involved, to all those things. And without realizing it, conditioning is sort of whatever, you know, opening the phone or however you're getting that information, looking for, okay, what evil are we going to oppose today, right? So not realizing that it's being framed that way, but that having that mirror of the blog highlighted that for you, kind of brought that to your attention.
Okay. It really did. And so now it's a case of playing with how do I do my day? How do I stay informed of what I care about in a way that will allow me to be helpful from a place of loving kindness. The tendency, what I'm seeing is close down or open the floodgates, you know, that there is no middle ground. And I just, I know that's not true. So it's been, I'm finding it to be terrifically challenging. And when I look at it from a place of practice, it's like sort of rubbing the hands together going, okay, all right.
Yeah,
this is the biggest challenge right now.
You know, a couple of things occur to me as you say that, Jen. One is exactly what I project you're pointing at, which is that, you know, how much am I going to, quote, stay informed? So how much am I going to read all these things or watch these things or whatever it is? What dropped in when you said that was, well, however, to whatever extent I want to have this workshop, right? Because you're in a workshop in the same way everyone tonight has been talking about. We think I'm getting informed so that I can blah, blah, blah. But what's actually happening is, you know, as you get exposed to this stuff, these various buttons are getting pushed and you're in a workshop. So it's like then I get to choose, well, do I want to be in an intense workshop and do I want to, you know, work with this every day, several times a day, or would I like to dabble in this once a week and, you know, then get, you know, build up my muscles and then take on a little more, you know what I mean? So in other words, not getting confused about what's going on here. What's actually going on here is I'm in a workshop about how present I can stay as I'm, quote, being, getting informed.
Oh, Jen, that is so beautiful because it takes it right to, this is all process. The content doesn't matter. And, yeah, you just sort of cleared the slate. Wow.
You know, the other one,
thank
I know
you.
We're out of time, but the other one I feel like is so fun is that, you know, where am I going to put my participation? And it's just, I watch this sometimes just on a daily basis, you know, waking up and saying, I truly don't know what's going to happen today. And, you know, sure, I have a list, and I know that it's Tuesday, and I know that this set of things tends to happen on Tuesday, but without fail, life asks me to participate in a way I never would have guessed every single day. And I live a fairly routinized kind of a life. And so I just pictured it could, that could be another fun workshop, is instead of me seeking it out, just watch how life is inviting me to participate.
Yeah, and informing how, yeah, just letting life do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
What a show.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you, Jan. Great ending.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jan. And wow, out of words, Jan. It was just fabulous.
You've got nothing, Michael?
I sure hope so. I'm going to hold on to this nothing for as long as I can.
I'm going to hold on to this nothing. Oh, wait. That might not be what we're going for.
maybe let go.
Let go of the nothing.
Yeah.
And invite more nothing. Yep.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Jen. It was great to have you.
Oh,
tonight.
Thank you, Michael. Take care.
Do it again. Okay.
You All too. Right. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.